Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 12th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, still made it 5 months, Michelle Bushnell. Good morning, lady.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Oh, we are just happy, happy dancers. You too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's see if we can add to our happiness. Why are ships referred to as she?
I actually don't know.
Well, considering your background, that's not a stunner. Long ago, new sailing ships were dedicated to a goddess who supposedly protected the ship and guided it safely to its destination. An image of the goddess was usually carved on the ship's bow, and this carved image led to the ships being referred to as she.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I hear in common days, people name their ships or boats after their firstborn daughter. Which is supposed to bring them luck.
Some of the fishing boats and stuff.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Unless you really got a real interesting first daughter.
Yeah.
Then it might just kind of settle down into the mud.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So you having fun with the governor yet?
I'm going to probably not comment on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's understandable. Some of the... The challenges.
Yes.
And what's going on. Last week, Billy Hansel was on and was talking about some of the edicts out of Sacramento pushing more bad guys to the local level and having us have to push out more medium bad guys out. And it's like, you know, at what point do we sit around and realize what's going on and have to deal with it somehow?
You know, we oftentimes also with the governor, we sometimes get forgotten about up here and that we're a different area and a smaller and more rural, and a medium to not medium, you know, bad guy is different in a rural area than in a city where people are, you know, law enforcement is more accessible than here. So it makes a difference.
Well, and it just, and I don't know if it causes more challenge in smaller areas or less challenge, it seems to be more problematic.
I think that, you know, when you, it's like a young child on a grander level, if you have no repercussions for what you do, what stops you from doing it? And when you're
double secret probation.
Yeah.
Remember?
A slap on the hand.
Animal House, yes.
Yeah, a slap on the hand doesn't often make you... mind your P's and Q's.
So, yeah. Well, and how's the situation in Garberville now compared to the last couple of years? We're still in the edict with the masks, and some people are really goosey about it, and some are kind of medium goosey. Has that cleaned up, changed at all, or is this year more reflective of past years? I mean, what?
So Garberville tends to still be an area that isn't accessible well, and so we have our normal, if you want to say our normal people that you can say, hey, stop that, you know, knock your crap off, and they do. And then we do have some more high detailed people down there that you know, are constant with our law enforcement and that know that there is no going to jail now, and I can do this, and I'm not going to have any repercussions. I get a little piece of paper that says, knock it off.
And are there a lot of the broken window syndromes in the retails?
You know, there aren't a lot of the broken...
It's more of a Eureka thing?
That is more of a Eureka thing. It has happened in Garberville, like Redway, one time in the last year. But what happens in Garberville is... it just happened. People just walk in and grab shit, crap, and leave. And they don't have, you know, so they're thieves. The thieving
just
is terrible.
Kind of an attitude of you can't stop me kind
yep.
of thing?
Yep. It just happened a couple weeks ago in a, well, actually, I'm going to be honest, it was my retail store. Group of four individuals walked in. One stayed in the car, and it was on a Sunday when I only have one staff member there. They piled a pile of clothing, $3,000 worth of clothing, on the counter. And when my staff went around to call the sheriff because she felt uneasy, they grabbed it and ran out the front door. And they were actually caught in Miranda. and I got my merchandise back, but they weren't, there was nothing the cops could do. They couldn't arrest them. So there's no incentive for them not to do it. And those, they actually were not local people, but they were on probation and parole, and they still couldn't do anything.
Just kind of passing through?
Actually, we're from Eureka. They were Eureka residents.
Oh.
Yeah, which happens a lot in our small town down there. I don't know about Fortuna. Fortuna's a little, and Rio Dell, they have their own cops, so it's a little harder to target those areas. But Southern mm-hmm. Humboldt especially is targeted, because, and especially on a Sunday, we don't have a lot of law enforcement down there.
But Eurekans just driving down to have something to do?
They can get away with it. We have some nice shops in Southern Humboldt.
Well, yeah, I know that.
They can get away with it easier, I think. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know why they do it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
A grab and go, grab and run kind of thing.
Yeah, instead of dash and dine, they're just dashing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just a little more than disturbing, I guess.
It's very disturbing. It's very scary for our merchants. You know, it's very scary for any merchant that has a staff working, and the staff doesn't feel safe working. My staff member was very scared, and she was a young girl, and, you know, the young kids work on the weekends.
Yeah, and you can be intimidated. You get a couple of ruffian appearing people.
Yes, yeah. So that continues to be, you know, a problem about response down there. And then we kind of are down and out of the way down there, not a lot of services for the homeless population or houseless population, and just not a lot of services in general. You know, so it tends to be like a never land.
You're not starting to change your vocabulary now, are you?
A little bit.
Well, I guess 5 months is better than what some thought.
5 months. I still don't understand the political realm.
Yeah, I just... call them as you see them, and you're typically going to be okay.
Yeah, I do. That's definitely how I am.
Yeah, but you checked off and you said houseless instead of homeless.
Well, I'm, yes.
So, you know, nothing else, every 4 or 5 weeks, I'll keep you on the straight and narrow. How's that?
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Just in case. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell, Humboldt County Supervisor. Does it feel normal yet?
I am less...
Title? Supervisor Michelle?
No, the title still I'm not used to, but I am less... I feel more at ease about my path of how to connect people and find the answers that I want. So that's becoming a lot easier. And I also am feeling more confident about saying whatever I want. And so
really, you know, I really am waiting for that shrinking violet thing to disappear from you.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I suspect is still kind of sticking in your craw is the situation with the hospital in Fortuna.
Yes.
Up, down, sideways, whatever the end result outcome is, having to spend time dealing with it has got to be just frustrating.
It's frustrating because I can see, first of all, I can see both sides of the issue. However, for my district specifically and the ruralness of my district, it's concerning. People are scared. My constituents are scared. And so not seeming to have a pathway forward to make, you know, some concessions for the OB closing. It just seems like it's a done deal that July 1st is the, they'll be done on June 30, I think it's 31st. And so people are worried.
June 31st?
Mm-hmm.
Been hit on the head a couple of times.
June 30th.
There you
Sorry.
Go.
So July 1st, there will be no more OB service there. And people in the more rural areas of southern Humboldt and Dinsmore area are concerned.
Now, Gerald Phelps just doesn't have it, just doesn't have the ability.
So from Ukiah to St. Joseph's now, Ukiah will be a birthplace. Is it birthplace? St. Joseph's will be the next. It's about 110 miles with no one in between. Willits does not do births also. And Fort Bragg used to, but I don't think does any longer. So there's a lot of concern with emergencies, precipitous births, you know, happening. And
now, is the building going to still be manned?
The St. Joseph's building?
Redwood.
Redwood Memorial,
or is
yes.
it going to be shuttered?
No. So the only thing that is closing is the OB department, which they have said they're going to transform that department into, I think, PT is what they're saying. And I have been reassured by Providence that they have no intention of closing Redwood as a whole, that they will continue with surgeries, they will continue with the ICU, and they will continue with their general floor. It's just the OB department. But when you get, when you start losing services in a community, so people, when you move to a community, you look for a hospital and a school. Young families look for someone to have their babies, you know, and a school system that's supportive. So the concerns are valid. They are valid. You start losing services, they start pickling away at everything else, and then people don't really want to move to an area that doesn't have good hospital and pediatrics and birthing centers. So then that, it, you know, encompasses such a large, it's more than just the issue of OB. And that's a lot of what I'm hearing. And then what's next? Although we have been reassured that Providence has no intent on closing.
Well, and you've got Open Door.
We have Open Door.
That helps out a little bit also, but they still don't provide that service.
No,
that department.
Open Door had or has right now privileges. I'm not sure their privileges are still there, but they had privileges for their birthing doctors at Redwood, and that'll go away once the OB department closes.
Sure, because
the
support won't be there.
Yeah,
either.
So no cesareans, no OB services at all. I imagine, I would be hopeful that if you come in presenting to the ER, they'll deliver you. But I know that with there will be no nobody there that has specialty in infants, so you know it's a risk. It's a risk. And It's a long ways from Dinsmore area. It's not, you know, they say it's 20 minutes to Eureka, but it's not 20 minutes from the people.
How fast do you drive to 20 minutes?
Well, it's not 20 minutes for the normal person. I guess if you're speeding.
Or with an ambulance, you know, if you have
maybe
a siren, perhaps.
Yeah, and so it just concerns me for the more rural area of my district, the 2nd District, that the alternatives, there aren't really any.
Are there midwifery?
There are some midwives. We have some midwives in the Southern Humboldt area, and they, but their services, their hospital services are Mad River, so that's even farther. And yeah, so they do home births, but that also with no. So when you do a home birth in Southern Humboldt, if there was problems, you could be transported to Fortuna.
You're close enough if something goes sideways.
So now it's even further. So I don't know, and I don't know what the laws are, because there are laws for home births with midwives that you have to be within certain distance of, you know, for emergencies.
Or of a major medical or a medical facility?
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's interesting, because I would have thought that most would have been in really rural areas. Where there is not a hospital.
Well, I think that I actually have reached out to a couple midwives to talk to them to see, you know, what will happen now with Redwood closing and what's their feelings and take on it. And you know, but it's nerve-wracking to be in Southern Humboldt and have an emergency and not have an outlet for to get your patient to somewhere that could do a emergency cesarean. You know, if a heart rate of an infant is dropping, it's not very long, and you have to deliver that child somehow.
Yeah, and helicopter services.
Forget it.
Doesn't make sense for the Coast Guard to be having to do that kind of stuff.
No, and it's, you know, I don't know what the response for a helicopter is, but it would be at least a half an hour. Maybe more than that, if the weather would let you in and out.
Yeah, or there was somewhere to land.
Yeah. Yeah, and then additionally, you know, people are concerned about the staff at Redwood, the OB staff, where they're going to go and what's going to happen with them. And
They're not going to be absorbed into
St. They say they are. They say they will be, that nobody will lose their position. That's what they're saying. People are just scared right now.
Uncertainty does that.
Yeah.
Uncertainty does that.
Yeah, it does.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, Baywood Golf and Country Club, Humboldt Bay Bistro, and Randall Sand and Gravel. Michelle, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, we've got things that the county controls. The ADA thing, fine, okay, known, taken care of, it's there, you deal with it. But you got all these other things that are coming at you, different perspectives, whether it's state doing things, new determinations, the virus, people's reaction to that. Now you got, you know, does this business stay open, does it not stay open, all those different things out there swirling around. How do you focus on what you need to do as a supervisor, I mean, as a leader of the community? I would think that all these little ducks nibbling at your heels, while it's important to the duck, you know, the overall, you know, your time might be better spent doing something more widely applicable.
So one of the things that I've come up against is how to be impactive broadly and not
impactive. Your vocabulary is just stunning right now.
I don't want to be, for me, for my district, I don't want to, I can singly try to help a lot of people, but it is important to me that I affect many in my district. And so when I think about people that call or concerns, what is affecting us most right now? Coronavirus, 100%. The challenges with cannabis permitting in the 2nd District. Redwood Memorial Hospital, that's huge. Right now, the rails to trails and the rail banking issue is a large topic. The Richardson Grove keeps coming up, you know, in my...
Straightening it,
yes.
Yeah, it's still alive and well. Good.
It is, looks like they're having a lot of discussion about that. Additionally, right now, one of the huge issues is the drought. You know, we didn't have very much rainfall, and the waters are really low. There's no feed for the cows. So those issues...
But you can't do a whole lot about the weather.
Nope, not the weather, but what has been concerning for people is the usage of water. and how it's
now, the water diversion out of the eel or the illegal grows diverting out of the watershed?
Illegal and legal grows. People are using...
If it's legal, it's legal, and you can't really touch that.
That's not true. When you pass a cannabis permit, you have stipulations of how you can grow, and one of them is consideration of water use, how you use your water.
So that's a very... That could be a variable? You don't get, like, permitted... X number of gallons a minute or whatever.
So when you present your project, you say, I'm going to use 1 million gallons of water. And then the next question is, where do you get that water? Does it come out of a diverted system? Does it come out of a well? So then if it comes out of a well, is that connected hydrologically or not? So is it going to affect the levels of the rivers? What has came up over and over daily in my area is forbearance. Did you forbear throughout the winter and collect rainwater catchment, or pump your well during the winter when the waters are abundant? So
in regular nomenclature, did you fill your water tank up when we had a lot of water?
Yep.
Or did you wait till now?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, thanks.
So,
yeah.
So that's...
You're dealing with slow and... Oh, I'm a city guy. Boy, that's never been used before.
So when you're asking as a supervisor, how do I pick and choose? I try to answer each question and try to be helpful individually if I can. But then on a greater level, I try to really scope in on what's going to affect the most for good or what's affecting the most of the constituents, and try to be very helpful.
So with getting back to the marijuana stuff, so the water tanks are okay. Mm-hmm. Theory is that you're going to fill it up when the water is available and not wait until everything is parched. Okay, I would think that would just be the prudent thing to do. And then you spot check those to make sure that they've been doing it?
Well, so there's a number of ways. You know, you put flow meters on a well that says, right now I believe the times for catchment would be October 31st to May 1st, which is, you know, in this kind of a dry year, it would have been a month ago, would have needed to stop. So if you say that you're catching your water during those months and you're storing it and making sure you have enough abundance of tanks, then you can monitor the water by a flow meter that comes out of the well to make sure. And the state of CDFA, the state of California, and the water boards are, you know, good at that. If that is a determination of your permit, then you're bound to do that, and they do check. Well,
sure,
on you.
Yeah. If that's a condition of
a conditional use, a condition of your permit. Yeah. So it is a large concern right now with all the, there are a lot of cannabis grows that they do use a lot of water, and so it is a subject that comes up every time a permit comes forward.
How many are on water systems? A regular old, like the home, like the business water system, where they're just running up a line from, and they have the hookup fees, and
I'm not sure
they don't have to worry about it.
I know Garberville has probably. I just had this conversation with the GSD, and I think they have around 8. I'm not sure in the
a tiny percentage.
Tiny percentage, okay. Down there, and then Fortuna, of course, has no. They don't have cannabis in their city limits, so zero there. Rio Del, I'm not sure how many hookups they have. And then the other area would be Arcata, which, you know, with the a big conversation's been the flower farm.
Yeah,
there.
Which to me, you know, if it's a conforming use, it's a conforming use. And who has more water than the old pulp mill line?
Right.
I mean,
right. There's a lot of, you know, stuff. I think it just got appealed, so it's going to come
in front of you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I try to not get too involved until it comes to us so I can take the project on its merit. And actually, I try not to get involved at all. So,
Has there been a lot of discussion about air quality issues related to the farms and the processing facilities throughout the county? Because I would think that's...
Well, odor mitigation
a big one.
Odor mitigation is one thing that you have to address in your permit, and especially for permits that are close to residents. So that is something that is addressed in their permit. Not so much air quality, but odor mitigation.
Well, it's
same thing.
Thanks.
Yep.
Now you're starting to understand my language here.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell. Now, Michelle, you indicated before that rail banking is starting to become an issue, and I know it's being pushed by certain segments of the population pretty hard, certain segments of the government pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I recall, and I don't know which of your predecessors, and I don't know what chair they were warming, but the comment made was, okay, these trails, great, they may be all warm and fuzzy, and that's dandy. But with the train passing through somebody's property, it's a whole lot different than bicyclists, riders, walkers, et cetera, people who don't have to stay on the rail. And what if things start disappearing? What if somebody rolls an ankle or breaks a bone? All of a sudden, now the landowner is in that chain of liability where in the past, you know, if the choo-choo train had an issue, it was the choo-choo train company, not the landowner.
Yeah.
Has there been any clarification on this at all?
So I coming into it new as a new supervisor, I'm trying to educate myself as much as I can on the rail banking. Just this week, we've had lots of comments and discussions about the rail banking. The concerns are, of course, the private landowners from Dos Rios to the Scotia area, which is a very rural and remote rail line. The intent of the rail was for freight through there, and so the private landowners are concerned with what you just said. It will impact their lives a lot to have a trail through their property. And they are concerned about people not staying on the trail, fires, trash, somebody getting hurt.
Right, I hadn't even thought about the fires.
Yeah, well, we don't have Southern California is a mild climate. We have true seasons. It's chilly. Even in the summer, it's chilly here. And so one landowner that called me yesterday said they're going to build a fire at night. And then what happens? You know, there's a 43,000 acres ranch in the Blacksburg area, and you get a fire started on there, you know. So their concerns are legitimate and real. They want to be engaged, and they want to have some reassurance.
Now, so who's in charge of this, though? It used to be the NCRA, right?
It is still the NCRA, and they are trying to turn into a different entity, like a Rails to Trails, instead of that. Is my understanding, and trying to get the rail right away from freight to then it would be rail banking, which then they could either build the trail while reserving the right away for trains if it ever wants to go back that way. That is their the communication that is coming forward. I don't know, you know, a lot of people haven't been through, like, the from Dos Rios. It's only accessible right now through the river if you float the river or kayak the river, and it's so...
And there's not a strong breeze blowing you upstream.
Yeah, it's very...
That's a little weird.
It's very rugged. It's very remote. There are parts of the trail, the rails that are just completely gone. The trestles are rotten, and you can't even walk them any longer. And so, you know, there's around 260 miles through there that are just not really, it's not a friendly area as far as environment. You know, it's rugged, it's rough, there's no services, there's no cell service, there's no, if someone gets hurt, how do you access them? Or, you know.
So there's really layers of potential problems that need to be worked out.
There are. I did have a conversation with Jason Lyles from Senator McGuire's office, and to try to educate myself on it so that I could really understand. He did give me lots of information. He did say and reassure me that the landowners will be engaged if that time comes, and that their considerations are top on, you know, everybody's thoughts for that section. You know, there's a section up here, the Humboldt Bay Trail, I think, that can be connected, where it makes total sense to connect a trail on that rail line that isn't used any longer. And maybe their thought process is that portions of the rail lines are more appropriate than others, and so maybe the area from Dos Rios to Scotia is not a high priority, but I haven't got that confirmed.
Yeah, but the ultimate is to tie it all the way down.
The ultimate is to tie it.
That includes everybody.
Yep,
so.
Like the Great Pacific Trail. You know, it's that's, I think, the thought process. And people from the Southern California area, Central California area, want to access this area, especially avid hikers. That's, you know, their passion is to access areas that they haven't been before, but
sounds like there's lots of layers of things that need to be worked through.
It is so confusing, and it impacts a lot of people, is the thing. It really does.
Yeah, and you want to try to avoid as much of that. Mm-hmm. So, hey, just because you didn't have everything on your plate, now you've got a little bit more. Nice to see you again.
Thanks. Thanks for always the discussion.
Keep hanging in there, huh?
Yep. We'll see you in a month, I guess.
Or so.
Oh, so are.
See everybody else tomorrow.
Yeah.